think he's ever ready.
I don't know.
Okay. Welcome back to another Barnes Bullets podcast. I'm your host, Dale Evans, and today I've got Greg Sloan and Mitchell Cookson with me, and we're going to talk all about 2026 new products. So I think that's a good time to do it. This is SHOT Show Week, Sheep Show Week. We're releasing officially to the public a lot of new products this week. Most of these will be warehoused by the end of the month. You know, I think it's right around basically by the end of the month. So 1 month or 1 week later, we'll have these new products on the website ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
And if Mitchell would work a little bit harder, we'd have more. But
sure.
Just like the app, he's always lacking.
No, the app is great.
I'm not saying the app isn't great. I'm saying that you were supposed to have more Doppler stuff. So if you listen to that podcast,
you got to be patient.
Patient. That's what it is. We're just teaching our consumers to be patient.
Yes.
As we work through things. Do you guys have a good Christmas and holiday season?
It was good. Yeah, for sure. It's always a good time. Take a little break, spend time with family, and enjoy Christmas and New Year's. And yeah, been chasing cow elk with my boys late season.
There you go.
So we don't quite have the weather that is ideal for late season cow elk.
Dude, the weather right now in the West is absolutely crazy. Like,
it's supposed to snow tonight, though, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Crossing my fingers, it might finally get some snow to push them where I want them to be.
Yeah. Up in Montana, it's been like 55 degrees. I think currently right now it's like, 35, 40 degrees here. It's pretty wild that we're not, that we're like hardly no snow on the ground, a little bit of snow in the mountains, but
yeah, nothing. Not a lot. Yeah. I mean, one of the days between Christmas and New Year was a really cold morning. I mean, it was like single digit.
Yeah.
But most of the mornings we were starting out, you know, 25, 30 degrees, which is still cool. But like,
right,
we're going to 8,000-9,000 feet to get like 3-4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's crazy. Just wild. You know, the elk are high. They're high. They're hanging up in the thick stuff still. You know, they're definitely not in the typical winter range, which is fine. It just makes that more difficult, though, when you're like, okay, this is easy. Let's go kill some some antlerless, you know, late season cow elk, and it's no big deal, and high success rate hunts. But when the weather doesn't cooperate, and it's now January, and, you know,
they can be in some really, really crappy places because the snow hasn't pushed them out yet.
Yeah, we glass some up. I mean, we're 2,000 yards away from where this, you know, there's a dozen cows feeding up on this big open ridge, and it's thick between us and them, and up and down, and ledgy, and they're already feeding into the thick timber by, you know, 8:30 in the morning, and you're like, okay, I'm 2,000 yards away from them as a crow flies, but like for me to get in position to even think about like, you're like, this isn't gonna happen.
And yeah,
we're down where they probably should be typically this time of year,
right?
So but it's still fun to get out, you know.
Yeah,
try to just extend the hunting season as long as we can.
Yeah, it's always kind of like a weird thing, right? Like, you want the weather if you're trying to hunt and stuff like that and get animals into the right position. But at the same time, like, I'm not really that mad about 55 degrees in January.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's pretty nice versus negative 20, like it could be.
No, it's for sure. You're torn. You're right. Like, we need the snow. I mean, like, we rely on the snowpack for water. Right. Yeah. You know, we live in a pretty, very agricultural valley.
Yeah.
I mean, they very much rely. I mean, Utah's a dry state.
Yeah.
You know, we need that snowpack like many areas. And obviously it affects the wildlife down the road.
Right.
You know, with good habitat and good feed and good moisture. But it is torn because you're like, man, it's December and I can go ride my dirt bike and it's 55, 60 degrees and there's not mud. And
right.
So.
Yeah. It doesn't help chucker hunting either. No snow. They're just kind of scattered
all over.
Yeah.
It's, we'll see. Maybe tonight they'll extend the forecast and we'll get like a foot.
It's looking like it could put some snow down. I mean, it's finally like the northern Utah mountains are finally starting to get some snow this last week. I mean, they've had a little bit, but like, I think I read like, you know, the Alta area, I think it's over like 50 inches in the last week. So, I mean, it's starting to dump it.
Yeah.
But
nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into what everybody came to actually listen to us talk about.
We're going to talk about the new Ballistic app. Again, that's what everyone wants to hear.
That's
what everyone's excited about.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. You know, technically we are recording this podcast right after the first of the year. So it is 2 weeks prior to this actually coming out to the public.
Right.
But you said this morning that we've got well over 5,000 downloads now, which is pretty you know, I think that we had smaller goals because we didn't really know, right? We understand that there's a lot of other ballistic apps out there. I think that we quickly established that we're better than quite a few of the other ones, right? Maybe we're not at the quote premier level of some of these that have been around for years upon years, right? But we're going to get there. We know that we have a roadmap to get there. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about that because I know that you want to talk about it.
I'll
let you talk about a little bit about what's to come in the Ballistics app in this next update if you want to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, it's so hard to change apps.
Yeah.
We've seen it here, even with our own app guys are stubborn. They're like, oh, well, I got to transfer everything over. And,
right.
And so going into it, we were a little worried that even if you do make a better app, sometimes it's hard to move over. But luckily, we've seen a ton of people have done that. And the people that have switched over are pretty dang happy, including us, because we all obviously had different apps at the time. We all transferred over. So getting that many downloads has been certainly encouraging, getting a ton of good feedback. But yeah, by the time this podcast comes out, we're going to have a new update. Quite a few things are going on that. We're going to add Coriolis effect and direction of fire. Some guys have been asking for that. So that'll get added. And then all of our libraries will be updated. So on this podcast, we're going to talk about all the new products for Barnes and then Sears new products. We won't talk about on the podcast, but those are going to get updated as well. So you'll get all the lengths, the BCs, muzzle velocities. That'll all be in your ballistic app. What else are we adding? A couple more Doppler bullets. Not sure which ones are going to be there, but a couple more getting added. And a few bugs, just like clicking links, going to our website, stuff like that. I think that's it for this update. I've got a whole roadmap, and it's probably going to be about once a month. We're going to do updates.
Okay.
Scope scale factor, that's coming in. Windage offset. And then I got some other crazy ideas. So I'm really excited about those, but kind of got to catch up and get some more basic, or they're not really basic features. They're actually kind of, they're pretty advanced, but we're gonna get to that level of where we need to be. And then I've got some cool things down the road that we're going to do. So,
yeah, I think one thing to bring up too, that's worth noting, you know, and I've already seen this a little bit with some feedback from consumers, but obviously, you know, this is from Barnes and Sierra. So you get the advantage of, you know, from the source, you know, the latest, greatest data, Doppler data, you know, brand new products coming out. Like you said, we're going to be the first to have that data in the app. But also there are other great apps. You mentioned that already.
Yeah.
You know, we know that we're recognizing that. We're not taking away from that at all. You know, there's some good stuff out there. But what is neat with ours as well is right now, I mean, this app is free. And when you factor in the level of performance and the features that I think the TrueData is giving you, and it's a free downloadable app, that's pretty impressive.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that everything has been pretty awesome so far. So with that, hopefully all our new products, maybe people will want to convert there, right? Because I think that we've got some
first available
super cool stuff that that's coming down the pipe. So.
So that's called TrueData, and it's on Apple and Android. I don't know if we called it TrueData on mentioned it yet. We just call it the app.
Yeah, he said TrueData.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I gotta get the plug in.
There you go. There's your plug.
So it's the TrueData Ballistics app. TrueData
Ballistics app.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, we've got over 5,000 people that are listening to the podcast. So I would think that we should be able to bump those numbers up. What's your next number that you want to get to?
1 million.
I mean, that's a great idea. So yeah, 1 million. All right.
Now these new products are exciting though, because obviously on the R&D side and the ballistic side, we've worked, you know, pretty dang hard over this last year.
Yeah.
Leading up to this, some of these even maybe a little bit longer than that, and it's always great to see these things hit the market. There's some stuff here that we are internally very excited about. You know, it's not just putting more ammo on the market, putting more bullets on the market. I mean, these are things that as an end user myself, I am super pumped to get out there and to use them.
This is a huge year.
Yeah, it is a huge year. I mean, I think that, what did you say? We have how many products that we're 28 launching?
28 to 30, depending on what we do later in the year. But I think at SHOT, it's going to be
like 26,
24,
26.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. Something like that. Right. So 24, 26, I looked at it as a way to round out a lot of things that we were, I hate to say the word lacking, but we were a little behind on. Right. So like we've definitely done that with line extensions, right, into already established product lines. But then we're also bringing two new product lines that we'll talk about a little bit later in this podcast. And then we'll also have a deep dive into those new product lines as well, like another podcast. So let's jump right into it. And we're going to talk about line extensions for the Harvest Collection, right? So we came out with the Harvest Collection 2025, kind of mid-year, I guess you could say. We launched it in April of last year. It was huge for us in 2025, right? Absolutely, in a way, it kind of changed the game, I would say, because of it's the first time that obviously Barnes ever loaded somebody else's projectile, right? Mm-hmm. With loading the Sierra Tipped Game King, right, into the Harvest Collection. And if you guys don't already know, right, like that got into Walmart, which was a huge success story kind of for us to be able to get there and just made it available nationwide,
right?
Right, like truly nationwide rather than kind of some of these, I mean, even, you know, Shields and Bass Pro and all that type of stuff that we work with, right? But like this is everywhere. So with the Harvest Collection coming out last year, we wanted to bring some things that obviously people said, hey, why don't you have this? Why don't you have that? So with that, we're bringing 6 ARC, 7 MM08, and 7 PRC into the lineup. So let's talk about those guys.
All right. I'll start.
Tell me which one you're most excited about.
I think the 6 ARC for me, really.
6 ARC.
Yeah. Okay. Mostly because I'll be honest, the 6 ARC is a cartridge I kind of ignored for a little while. Like, I'm not a huge gas gun guy.
Right.
I mean, I appreciate them. I shoot them. I own them. But it's just like, I'm a bolt gun guy.
Yeah.
And so for 6 ARC at first, it was kind of like, meh, it's a cool round. I got the, you know, I understand the application. I understand the appeal. Especially from a gas gun perspective. But as a bolt gun guy, I was kind of like, okay, but I could shoot, you know, X, Y, or Z in the same platform, the same size, the same weight, and get better performance. But once we really dug into 6 ARC and started doing development work, you know, I started to appreciate, you know, the really kind of the attributes of that cartridge that stand out. And it, all of a sudden I'm like, ah, maybe I even want a bolt gun in a 6 ARC, you know. But
right. I have one.
Yeah, Mitchell's already got one.
He bought one. So we have three, spoiler alert, we have three new 6 ARC products. So I had to get a bolt gun.
Yeah.
And it's sweet.
Yeah. And like I was, more to come with the other two. And I'm super excited about those as well. But the 6 ARC 100 grain TGK offering, you know, whether you're a gas gun 6 ARC shooter or bolt gun, you're seeing more and more bolt guns on the market in 6 ARC. It's just a great little round,
you
know, low recoil, good accuracy, you know, obviously great barrel life, you know, everything from if you're really taking advantage of the smaller case and you're going like a Howa Mini type platform or even just like a Savage Axis or some of the, you know, Ruger guns, you know, there's getting more and more bolt guns on the market. Or if you're building a gas gun or you're buying a gas gun, it's a great cartridge, good performance. That 100 grain TGK, I've been super impressed with. We did gel testing with that at 300 yards, awesome performance, you know, good bolt expansion, good wound cavity, great penetration, still good weight retention. You know, that TGK is a really good performing, you know, jacketed lead core bullet, especially it's non-bonded, but it's got a thicker jacket, and it does really good. It's a balance. It's a very well balanced projectile, I feel, you know, still giving great expansion, but still have some integrity in holding together.
Right.
And that 100 grainer, it's been impressive.
It's got a pretty good BC too. It's got a 515 G1 BC, which is pretty dang competitive as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, especially for a little 100 grain bullet, right?
Oh,
so that's pretty awesome. Mitchell, tell us a little bit about that 7 PRC that we have in Harvest.
Yeah.
I think you had a little bit of chance to test that.
I did, yeah. So I started the year shooting the 160 grain 7 PRC and Vortex LR. I killed an elk with it. The wife killed an elk. I borrowed my gun to a buddy. He killed an elk. Awesome performance.
Yep.
Me and Dale went to Kodiak, Alaska in December.
November.
I'm getting everything mixed up. Yeah. So I switched the 180 grain TGK because you just, on a deer like that, I don't need 160 grain copper bullet. Not saying it's wrong.
Right.
Wanted to try a new product and be able to come on this podcast and say, yeah, I shot that.
Yeah. And I mean, some people would say you don't need a 180 grain bullet for a Sitka blacktail deer, but there's also big brown bears that are up there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you were going to carry the six arc.
I was going to take the six arc. Because
I still think you should have.
It would have been fine.
Well, yeah, since we never saw a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was planning
on taking... It's easy to say now.
It's true.
That's why I bought that bolt gun.
Right.
And I got everything. I didn't get it dialed up. I gave it to the lab, and they did everything for me, which is great. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I bought it, and I was thinking, yeah, I'll get a 300-yard shot. It's kind of right on the edge, but, you know, the deer aren't huge. It'd be fine. It's a copper bullet. It's going to act a little bit heavier than it really is. But, yeah, I started watching videos, and they're seeing brown bears, and they're taking shots in windy conditions at long range. I'm like, I better – let's take the 7 PRC.
Yeah.
So I switched. Cleaned my barrel good. We had some experimental ammo, so filed the barrel, shot it, and it came right in.
I mean,
I didn't have to mess with anything. Obviously, my zero changed, but, I mean, it just shot off the bat. So got a muzzle velocity at the range or at our facility here. Went out to the little range in my town and tracked out to 600 yards. I didn't have to adjust any dope. BC lined up. Everything was good. True data. Works great. but, yeah, I used it in Kodiak. I had about a little over 300-yard shot.
Yeah.
Hit it right behind the shoulder, and it took off running. And it only went maybe 40, 50 yards. Kind of did a backflip and flopped over.
Yeah.
It's just one of those where you shoot it, they take off running, and you know it's dead the second you hit it.
Right.
It's just on a death run and
Start
stumbling, does a cool backflip. And
yeah, it was cool in that Kodiak hunt because a lot of people were testing a lot of these new products that we have.
Yeah.
Or more of these new products that we have coming down the line here. So, I'm really excited about that. I think that the 7 PRC is going to be a huge hit, right? There were so many people asking about it, like, why didn't we put it in the harvest collection
right
the first year? But now we're able to round it out. Obviously, 6 arc, 7 odd 8, right, is just a good deer round.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about 7.08. I love that cartridge.
Yeah.
I don't own one currently. I have owned them.
My wife's got one that she hasn't shot it that much. As of recently, but I would say that now with this new harvest collection, right, it's like, let's get out and like play with that thing some more. And I look at it as like, I mean, granted, my kids are still like very young, but I've already thought about like, let's put a suppressor on that thing. And like, this will be like my oldest daughter's like first rifle, right?
It's a good cartridge. I mean, it's just, it's not too much recoil, but it's there. I mean, it can reach out and
kill elk.
And that's just it. Like, it kind of gets ignored a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's been around for a long time. I think the people that know and realize and enjoy it.
Going back to like when I worked for Randy, right? Like, that was one of his favorite cartridges because he's like, I can do everything with this. It's kind of, it's like a 308, obviously 7.08, right?
Right.
But you're having a little bit better ballistics than like a 308 would do.
Right. And that's one cool thing is it's steps down a little bit in recoil. Generally, you're going to probably step down in bullet weight more than likely. I mean, some of it can overlap with what bullets you'd shoot in a 308.
Yeah.
Obviously, smaller diameter, but generally they're going to be a little sleeker,
yeah,
a little more streamlined, higher BC for the most part, and you're stepping down in recoil. But one thing I like to point out is the 6.5 Creedmoor, and obviously I don't want to bash on the 6.5 Creedmoor. There's plenty of that in the world. It's a great round for what it is, but I think it gets sometimes... Like, there's two sides of it. There's the side that just absolutely hates it because it's all you hear about for the last 15 years.
Right.
And there's a side that thinks it's more than it is, right?
Yeah.
And they think they can do everything with a 6.5 Creedmoor.
Right.
But having said that, there's so many people that I've run into that'll be like, I'm going on a open country Western big game hunt and I don't want recoil and I'm going to shoot a 6.5 Creedmoor on elk at 600 yards.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not even going to consider something like a 7.08.
Right.
You know, to them, it's like, well, that's slow and it's a turd and it's mild mannered, whatever. You start comparing the numbers, a 7.08, like this isn't, obviously we're talking harvest with the Sierra Tip Game King.
Right.
But I've looked at it from like a hand loading perspective, loading like a 139 LRX or a 145 LRX and a 708. We'll stomp a 6.5 Creedmoor with a 127 LRX. Yeah. Absolutely stomp it. You know, and I've shot gel at 600 with both, and they both work. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
The 6.5 127 is a great round. Yeah. I'm not taking away from it at all. But if I was hunting elk and I wanted kind of something a little bit smaller, lighter recoiling that could do everything, it's a great one to look at. And I'm excited to see it in this line so we can offer, because we do 708 in Vortex. We load a 120 TTSX. It's a great, great round.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to see us have it in the harvest line and get the 150 grain TGK out there.
Right. Yeah. 100%. I think that, again, like as we're kind of putting more cartridges into harvest collection, right? I look at it as, I think a lot of people saw harvest collection very much as what it was, right? Like as we kind of brought it out, we just said, hey, look, this is going to be kind of your end all be all for any type of whitetail thin skin game, right? But as we bring in 7 PRC, right, we already have 6.5 PRC in it, 7 Rem Mag, 300 Win Mag, right? Even bringing in 6 ARC, 7-08, right? I think people are really seeing that, you know, this doesn't have to be just whitetails, right? Obviously, we went and did a hunt last year in Montana. I shot a mule deer with it. I know of plenty of people that shot elk with it last year as well, right? I don't think we were touting it to be, you know, the elk killer that it can be.
Right.
But, you know, you look at other products on the market, if you will, from other big names. And I think that you could put the harvest collection right there beside it, and it's going to stomp it and like beat it, right?
Absolutely.
For a much better price point.
Right.
And that's for $10 a box less.
That's just it. I mean, I personally, it's completely capable on elk. Some of these offerings, you know, I mean, I know guys have killed them with 6.5 PRC and that 145.
Yeah.
You know, understanding where the loss limitations are going to be, whether it be cartridge or bullet design or whatever. Yep. I mean, me personally, I'm still going to shoot an LRX if I'm going to go hunt elk.
Right.
But like you brought up, there's plenty of consumers out there that are going to want something at a little bit different price point, perhaps, than say Vortex LR, or they prefer a cup and core bullet.
Exactly.
You know, okay, this is not just some cheaper option. I mean, this is premium ammo. The performance is there. The accuracy is there. The bullets there. The BCs are there on some of these, you know. And the 7 PRC, I will specifically call out that 180 grain. I mean, our box velocity is 2960, and it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, real velocity.
This isn't, we box 2960, you go shoot out of your 22, 24-inch gun, and you get 2,700 feet per second.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up my True Data app and see what my muzzle velocity is. So I have a 20-inch 7 PRC. Let's see what I measured here. 2832.
Out of a 20-inch.
With a 20-inch barrel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty dang impressive.
Yeah.
No inflating here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I shot it out of a 24-inch yesterday out of a Browning here in the facility, and it was, I want to say, 2945 is where I averaged out of that gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't hide anymore. I think everyone's seen that with the new chronographs they have from Garmin and the kind of the Doppler radar with those. You can't hide, so we're not, we can't just add 100 feet per second, 200, do something crazy. We're posting real muzzle velocities.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, there's always variables, right? Gun to gun, chamber to chamber, barrel to barrel, barrel profile, barrel lengths. Like there's all these variables. I mean, these are real measured velocities out of our test barrels at the standard length. And there's going to be times on some of these where we've made the decision to even box, even if it's against the SAMI standard length, if it's the mainstream length, you know, we're even starting to trend towards, we want to give the end user the most usable, realistic data we can.
Yeah.
And if that means we're going to post a box velocity that's out of a shorter barrel, I mean, look what we did with Pioneer.
Right.
You know, we started posting, you know, both revolver and carbine length velocities on the box so that they have usable numbers.
Right. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about the price point quick.
Yeah,
so that's a huge thing with harvest.
Yep.
So, and maybe I screwed this up on 7 PRC, but 7 PRC is $55 a box.
Yep.
For harvest.
Yeah, MSRP.
Yep. You look at Vortex, I think Vortex LR is 78 now.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have screwed that up on harvest. I probably should have priced it higher.
Well,
it's you get that, you know, when you're picking products, that's a big deal. Going between Vortex and Harvest, obviously bullet construction, but then price point too. So a lot of guys didn't like, oh, Barnes launched Harvest. I'm a copper guy. Like, who cares? But that's bringing so many more people to the brand due to the bullet construction, but also price point is huge. Yep. I mean, you're saving over $20 a box on 7PRC.
Right.
You can do a lot more practicing with that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, and even looking kind of across the board, right, against other competitors and things like that. And I mean, we're going to be priced lower or right there with them, right? So I think that that's really important to say, is that we're able to continue to give better ammo than other people are producing, right, at a better price point, which is super important, right? Obviously, and with doing this, and as you'll see, again, another little spoiler alert, there's another 7PRC coming.
What?
Yeah. We're now going to have kind of that perfect, like, good, better, best scenario, as well as, like, you know, kind of your mid price point, your little bit higher price point, and then, you know, your highest price point. So I think that this really kind of rounds out. And again, going back to, like, that's what we wanted to do for 2026, is really round out our products as we needed to do. I think that this makes a lot of sense. So quick little search on the interwebs shows that, we're gonna beat most of those prices for the same type of bullet construction, the same type of loading, everything like that is what I would say.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into Vortex
ammo. We're going to give a spoiler.
What are you going to spoiler?
They're coming out later in the year, but we're not going to tell you what they are.
Just yet. See, I wasn't trying to give quite that much of a spoiler. I was just going to say there was more. I know. You always do.
More coming.
Yep. Yep, there are more coming. Okay, Vortex ammunition. More six arc.
Yeah, this one I am super excited about.
Super excited about. Okay, so you have a six arc and a 90 grainer.
Yep.
With a TAC TX.
Yep.
Why did we want to make it a TAC TX?
So there is a little, I'm going to take the opportunity to kind of clarify.
Because this is all new bullet, right?
Mm-hmm. Brand new bullet. And we'll talk to it later, but just jumping ahead a little bit, this 90 grain TAC TX will be available as a component bullet
right.
as well for handling.
All these spoiler alerts, can't get through one thing before we get to another.
But the 90 grain TAC TX, the TAC TX line in general, I know we get questions about this sometimes, and maybe we haven't always done the best job at, you know, educating, but the TAC TX is really, I mean, it's a copper bullet, just like a TTSX or an LRX. It's a tipped copper bullet, just like those other two families. But it's what makes it unique is it's really been optimized for those generally what I'm going to call more gas gun carbine length cartridges, right? 300 blackout. You look at our 110 grain TAC TX, hugely popular. I think most people are familiar with that one. It works great, good terminal performance, hogs, deer, you know, whatever it be. Even defense scenarios, we've had, you know, some mil-LE type uses on that projectile. That's what makes it unique. Sometimes we get questions like, oh, can I hunt with a TAC TX? It's not a TTSX. Yes, you absolutely can hunt. That's what it's designed for.
I've seen you shoot a hog with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've shot plenty of hogs with the TAC TX. Our 6.5 Grendel 115 is a popular one we've had. Like I said, the Blackout 110 TAC TX. So we did a 90 grain TAC TX in the 6 arc. And what makes it unique is it's purpose built and optimized for 6 arc, but specifically 6 arc in gas guns.
Yeah. It's not, we're not assuming 24 inch barrel
right.
pressure
right.
to the max. Right.
Yeah. We really looked at 18 inch guns, even 16 inch guns, as well as the SAMI map. Pressure on 6 arc is built around a gas gun. It's 52,000 PSI. You'll notice on our reloading data or our hand loading data on our website, we actually post both gas gun data and bolt gun data. Mm. And we purposely loaded the bolt gun data to a higher pressure.
Right.
You know, it's got all the warnings and disclaimers there. So this ammunition in the Vortex is loaded to SAMI map of 52,000. It's built to be safe and used in all gas guns. And that 90 grain is really optimized to work, as Mitchell said, even in shorter barrels, you know, where velocities are going to be dropped off. You know, not only, okay, I can take a six arc in my 22, 24-inch bolt gun, and I can hand load it to 60,000 PSI, yeah, and I can get screaming velocities. But if I'm buying factory ammo and I'm holding it to the SAMI maximum average pressure of 52,000, and I'm an 18-inch gun, okay, now I'm probably more in that, 2850 range. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, if I'm trying to take shots on game at 200, 300, 400 yards, am I still going to get bolt expansion? And that's where this 90 grain TAC-TX came in. That bullet expands extremely well at low velocity.
Yeah.
Extremely well. I personally killed a doe pronghorn this past fall with that bullet. It wasn't in a six arc Vortex ammo because I don't have a six arc yet. Mm-hmm. I hand loaded in a six Creedmoor, so I'm definitely pushing it fast. Yeah. My load ended up being just shy of like 3,300 feet per second, and I had a load that was even more like 3,450, but I got a little bit better accuracy at about 33. And I killed this pronghorn at like 350 yards. Entered just off the shoulder here, exited the off shoulder. I mean, the exit hole just gushing blood out, tons of internal damage. But when I look at the numbers, the estimated impact velocity of that shot launched out of my six Creed at 350 yards. And okay, what does that look like if I was a six arc, say 18 inch? And you could expect that performance even beyond 100 yards, even out of that six arc and an 18 inch gun. So it's this 90 grain is going to work awesome. I'm going to put it out there just because I know we're going to get asked. We have tested that bullet in our water tank down to 1,500 feet per second and still gotten good expansion. I'm not saying that that's now the number to use as a maximum effective range.
Yeah.
Because obviously in my six arc, 1,500 feet per second is way out there further than I'm ever going to shoot an animal with a six arc.
Yeah.
Or a six Creedmoor.
Yeah. So what expansion are you getting at 1,500? Is it just cracking or is
it
full?
No, it's not full, but I want to say, I mean, I'd have to go back and measure it, but off memory, it was substantial. It was I would say at least 1.7, 1.8 times diameter, mm-hmm. if not a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's important. A lot of guys say low end barn 1600 or 1800. That's, you got to have information with it. Right. Some of our low ends are 1.1 times diameter.
Right.
And other times like this one's 1.7. So yeah. A low end, comparing two low ends, you got to get the full story.
Yeah.
So around 1.7 at 1,500 is pretty dang impressive.
Oh, yeah. You get in that 18 to 2,000 range with this bullet, and you dang near our full expansion. So it's just purpose-built for the 6-arc and gas guns specifically. I'm super excited about this load. You know, if you're hunting deer, hogs, you know, bigger predators, whatever it be, with your 6-arc, this 90-grain TAC-TX and Vortex is going to be an awesome performer.
Yeah, we had the option to load the 95 grain LRX, and a lot of guys did. But looking at it, we thought, you know, go a little bit lighter, get higher muzzle velocity, and then adjust the function window as well. And the really cool thing about this, too, is we invested in tooling and made this thing a needle. I mean, it's we got a new tip. You can see it fits to the Ogive really well, and it's super sleek. So when you look at the BC, we don't have an official published number. We'll probably get that next week, unfortunately. So it'll be ready for you guys when you listen to this. But at the top of my head, I don't know it right now. But just the little testing we've done, it's the same or better BC than our 95 grain LRX, which 5 grains lighter, and it has the same BC.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I can say we catalog 0.436 with our 95 grain LRX. Great bullet. I've shot that in its six Creeds for years. My boys killed deer and antelope with that 95 grain LRX. I love that bullet. But this 90 grain TAC-TX, I mean, if I'm being honest, I will probably switch and start hand loading the TAC-TX in my six Creed. And it's shooting awesome. It's as good a BC, and I can push it a little bit. And it's just the function window shifted down because obviously it wasn't built around a six Creedmoor. It was built around a six arc. And even at a lower pressure and potentially shorter barrels. And so it just means that function window has been shifted even more. And so if you're starting to look at long range, even if you're a hand loader, and again, I'm jumping ahead to the component side, but any of these six arc, six GT, you know, guys are starting to hunt more with those kind of cartridges, six dash or even, I'm all the way up to the big case, six Creeds. This 90 grain TAC-TX is going to be a mean projectile.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably one of my favorite projectiles right now. I don't know. It just looks cool in the TAC-TX configuration with the black tip. I don't know. Maybe I'm just so used to the blue tip, but it just It's a sexy looking bullet, sleek.
Well, and back to what kind of where I started with the TAC TX and a TTSX or LRX, you know, materials are the same.
Right.
Same materials, same tip material. It is a different color with them black in the TAC TX line. But yes, they are designed for hunting. Yes, you can use them for hunting.
Yeah.
They're just optimized around those more gas gun type cartridges.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very similar to an LRX.
Yeah.
In principle.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Sweet. Next up. 7PRC 170 grain TTSX.
There you go.
So this is our third 7PRC offering. So we're doing two this year, two new ones. And what's really cool, we have the 160 grain LRX and Vortex LR.
Yep.
And Dale just announced the 170 grain TTSX. Yep. And then, when, of course, we talked about the 180 grain
TGK.
So yeah. We have 160, 170, 180. We have it all.
Maybe not have it all yet.
No, we have it.
This one's good.
Let's talk about why a 170 TTSX, because I mean, I've been here for 15 months, 16 months, something like that at this point. And I feel like even with the 160, as much as we told everybody how well that bullet was designed around the 7PRC cartridge.
You should still shoot the 160, but people aren't going to listen, and they're still going to buy the crap out of this 170.
Exactly. I was going to say, I'm going to be straight up honest. This is a great product. It is, but
it absolutely crushes Sitka Blacktail deer. Right. I will tell you that.
There is nothing wrong with this 170 TTSX. It's a great product. It's a good bullet weight. It's going to perform well. Guys that want that TTSX performance, maybe you're only going to shoot your 7PRC out to 400 or 500 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
This is your load. Guys wanted weight. I mean, like, you cannot beat the 160 LRX performance. I mean, it's got a great BC. You get muzzle velocity. You get accuracy. I mean, I'm not going to switch to this 170, but I get why we built it, because we can look at the numbers and we can look at efficiency and we can look at all the reasons why the 160 is better, and it's true. But we're still going to get guys that want something heavier, and they want it heavier. And they, like, it's almost like they can ignore all that. Yeah. They just want to hit the weight.
Right.
You know, and I would say the 160 is better, absolutely no doubt, better for long range.
For sure.
But medium and short range, you might want to lean on that 170 a little bit.
Right. More. And that's, I personally still, I have no issue shooting an elk out of 7PRC within 100 yards on bone with the 160 LRX.
Yep.
But, yeah, right. You could argue if you want that absolute higher weight retention, deepest penetration possible, TTSX performance. And like I said, you're like, I'm never going to shoot my PRC past 400 or 500 yards. Mm-hmm. This 170 TTSX is going to be your load.
It's a little bit more forgiving too.
Yeah, there is that.
So the 160 grain, we went as aggressive as we could, and it shoots awesome. But with this 170 grain, to make it 170 and to get it to still stabilize, we had to make it fairly blunt. It's not as like a needle like the 160,
right?
So it's a little bit less sleek, and then we added I think two cantilovers. I think the 160 has two, right?
Yep.
And this one has four,
correct?
So what that does, it makes it more forgiving. You have less bearing surface, you're gonna get less fouling, less pressure. But the bad thing is it strips a little bit of BC. So for an LRX bullet, it didn't make sense for us to do that. We're just trying to be really aggressive, get the best BC, still get good accuracy, but not get too carried away. But this one does, it is a little bit more forgiving with that, adding two more cantilevers to it. So we wanted to make the heaviest possible bullet and very forgiving for kind of that short to medium optimized.
Yeah.
And medium, I'm not saying, you know, 100 yards. I'm saying probably up to 500.
Yeah, I actually shot gel at 600 yards with this 170. Okay. At the outdoor range a couple months back as part of the development, we hauled gel out to 600 yards. I shot gel with the Vortex ammo, 7PRC 170. It still worked great. Good wound cavity. Obviously, it penetrated amazing. Still good expansion. I mean, the 160 would get better expansion, no doubt, at 600 yards.
Way less wind drift, too.
Way less wind drift. Yeah, you're talking to 0.608. BC, I think, on the 160 grain LRX.
And what's the 170 BC?
0.503.
0.503.
So it's great BC.
Yeah.
You get 0.5 and you launch it at 29, 25 box velocity.
Yeah.
That's no slouch. But you're right. The 160 is the more efficient choice. Higher muzzle velocity and higher BC, you know, much higher BC, 100 points higher. But if I'm not going to shoot 700 yards, that doesn't matter.
Right.
Yep. And you're right. If I'm going to shoot elk and 400 or 500 is a longer shot, yeah, the 170 is probably the best choice.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm going to look up in my True Data app. There you go.
Available on the App Store.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, I'll bring this up. We have had a handful of questions come through, whether it be email or phone on the consumer service tech support side. And they actually questioned the 160 grain BC number of the LRX because they look at the 168 LRX, our component bullet.
Right.
And we could have loaded that. We've talked about that. We could have just loaded the 168 and been done.
Right.
But we knew we could do better.
We did it for you guys.
Right. And I actually have a picture side by side of the two projectiles. And they actually questioned, like, is this an error? Is this wrong? Is it an error?
Yeah.
Is it inaccurate? It's like, no, this is 100% accurate, Doppler verified. Because they look at the BC of the 168 LRX, and it's, what, 0.505?
I can't even remember.
It's right there.
Yeah.
And they look at the over 0.6 BC of the 160. Right. 160 is lighter.
Yeah.
You know, their normal conventional wisdom says,
How does this make sense?
Yeah. When you look at the two side by side, you're like, okay, I see how it makes sense. I mean, I don't want to make it sound this bad, but it's like you think about aerodynamics.
Right.
It's like parking a Ferrari next to a school bus.
Yeah.
That's the best way to look at it.
So quick, what I was going to say there, right, is you were talking about 29.25 is the box velocity for this 170. I was getting 29.44 out of my 22-inch 7PRC with that.
Yeah.
Right. So pretty impressive with it, right? Again, we used it in Kodiak. I killed a blacktail deer with it. Carter killed a blacktail deer with it. Mm-hmm. Grinda killed a blacktail deer with it and a mountain goat with it. So this thing absolutely crushes. I mean, if it's doing, you know, anything from, again, blacktail all the way up to mountain goat are pretty dang tough. I think it's going to do anything that you want it to do out there to that 500 yards. Again, this rounds out our 7PRC very well. Oh, yeah. So now you have your, you know, going back to harvest collection with the 180 grain. Let's be honest. We can shoot that out 500 yards. You can probably kill an elk with it all day long, right? But now you have this 170 again out 500, 600 yards. And then if you need to go that beyond, if that's the person that you are and that's the shooter that you want to be, you have your 160 and the LR.
Well, and even at 400, you know, you don't even have to say, okay, if you're going to shoot game at 700, look at 400 yards. I mean, all three can work at 400 yards.
Right.
No doubt.
Yeah.
They all three have
100%
great BCs. I mean, all three of these are over 0.5.
Yeah.
And all three of these are over 2,900 feet per second.
Yeah.
You know, it's there, right? It's a 7mm bullet. You're talking 160 in a copper all the way up to 180 in a lead core. It's there.
Yeah.
But at 400 yards, when you look at the BC of the 180 grain TGK, I mean, I don't think we talked to that. It's 0.632.
Yeah.
That's a good BC.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at wind drift, you're going to have less wind drift. You
right.
know, you look at the BC of the 160 LRX, it's over 0.6 with more velocity.
Yeah.
I mean, we box 30-50 and it's real. I mean,
yeah.
We've had multiple 22-inch guns over 3,000 feet per second with that ammo.
Minus.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so one point I want to bring up is, even if you're not going to shoot 600, 700, 800 yards, 400 or 500 yards, maybe you want to shoot the 160 just because of less wind drift or the 180 TGK, you know, and all three of these loads, the box velocity we already spoke to that, it's real data.
Yeah.
And all three of these
true
data. There you go. But I think it is important to bring up, like you said, with your 22 inch, and we've talked about this. We talked about this on the last podcast with the barrel length conversation of shorter barrels and the 160 grain.
Yep.
And I'll say the same thing is true for these other two loads.
Yeah.
The 180 grain TGK in Harvest and the 170 grain TTSX in Vortex. All three of these 7PRC loads do very well in 22 inch guns and in 20 inch guns.
Yeah.
You know, the powder that we're using in these and powders, they're not all the same. They've worked very well, even out of shorter barrel lengths. And they're retaining that velocity well out of the shorter barrels.
Yeah. Super cool. I'm really excited about this one. Obviously, I mean, we've talked about it on numerous podcasts, right? I'm a 7 guy across the board. It doesn't matter if it's 7PRC, 7 Rim Mag, 280 Ackley now, obviously. Thanks, Greg.
You finally got the best one.
I don't know about that yet. But all right. Let's talk about the next one. I think that our Midwestern buddies will be very excited about this. As straight wall continues to get big across the Midwest in those whitetail states, right? We brought out the 400 Legend and a TSX in our Vortex ammo.
Yeah.
I've yet to be able to use this, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not being able to use this somewhere in the white and in the Midwest for whitetails this past season, but I really want to. 190 grain TSX. As we, again, as you just kind of look at like what the straight walls are doing, right? And 400 Legend, it's not as big as the 350 is at this point, but it also hasn't been out nearly as long.
Mm-hmm.
But notice how many gun manufacturers are starting to make more of these, right? And they're really kind of picking up. I mean, we were having conversations with like the Benelli crew back at NRA show last year in April, and they're right. Like, dude, we're working on it. Like, it's coming. Like, we understand that. So we want to make sure and be kind of ahead of the game, if you will, right, as the 400 Legends start to take off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's got real legs. It's a – the 350 is a great round.
Yeah.
But I think it's always lacked muzzle velocity and energy, and that 400 Legend fills that gap.
Right.
So it's cool. I got my brother set up on a 450 Bushmaster – Taunton, Iowa with, and I got him a bolt action rifle and a scope. But doing deer drives, scope isn't the answer. So like you need to, we're doing this 400 Legend load.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I'm going to get you an AR with a red dot on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
But the copper bullet is cool. And I think a lot of people don't understand. They say, you know, copper bullets need more velocity to expand. This will smoke any lead core projectile in terms of expansion.
Yeah.
And that's because we do a six pedal design. It's got a big hollow point nose.
Yeah. I saw some TSX down in the lab this morning, and I was like, dude, this thing looks sexy.
Yeah.
Like just sexy. Even to be a straight wall and, you know, for what they are, right? It's just a sexy bullet design.
Mm-hmm. Brian did that one.
Well, I figured so if it was sexy enough.
Yeah. If I would have done it, it would have ended up bad.
No. No, that's a good point, though. The big open cavity, the six pedal, you know, this is more along the lines of our muzzleloader bullets, you know, our handgun bullets, our XPBs that are all six pedal. The success of our 170 grain that we've had in the 350 Legend in the Vortex, this is kind of the big brother version with the 190 for the 400. It's a good performer.
Yeah.
Accuracy's been great. Terminal performance is great. You know, like you said, if you're a straight wall guy, you know, this is one that we're actually really excited to get out there.
Yeah, should be really cool. Precision match six arc with 105 grain match burner.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, six arc, three new offerings, the 100 grain in Harvest, the 90 grain in Vortex with the TAC-TX, and now the 105 match burner in precision match. So
yeah. Why did we want to come out with the six arc for that?
Yeah, I think it just gives an option, you know, premium quality match ammo, good precision. This load flat out shoots.
Yeah.
You know, it's a guy that, okay, I'm not necessarily a hunter. I have a six arc. I'm going to the range. I'm shooting steel. I'm shooting paper. Maybe you're competing with your six arc in one discipline or another, or you're just shooting steel, shooting paper. You know, I mean, you don't need a 90 grain TAC-TX to do that. You know, you don't maybe necessarily want to shoot a 100 grain TGK to do that. You could, but this 105 match burner gives you the edge of performance, just because it's a higher BC. For the 105 weight, you get, you know, velocity. You know, it's not a screamer. We focused on accuracy. Precision, you know, just like it says, precision match.
Right.
All three loads have shot really well. But if you averaged out all the accuracy data that we have through multiple test barrels, multiple guns, this 105 flat out shoots.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you're after is the tightest groups possible from factory ammunition in a six arc, I think this 105 precision match is worth trying out.
Nice. Yeah.
It across the board, like Greg said, like our PV barrels we measure pressure on, they're not really meant to shoot accuracy.
Yeah.
They'll shoot half inch. You put them in a real ACK barrel and a return to battery rest, just phenomenal bolt rifles.
Yeah, and those are 10 shot groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of those products that for whatever reason, the stars align and it just doesn't matter what you do, it shoots.
Component bullets.
Let's get into it.
All right. So we've got multiple arcs, multiple Creedmoors or RPM stuff, whatever you want to say.
What?
152. Let's jump right into that one. So we have a 152 LRX for 284 7 millimeter, mm-hmm. if you will. T- technically, I guess we released that last year, but this is going to be, you know, officially this year, right?
We kind of quietly did it.
Yeah.
Put it on the website.
Yeah.
I had a guy write in. He said, Mitchell, if you don't offer this, like,
I'm coming to Barnes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. We had a lot of requests for this one via social and obviously emails and apparently people even writing letters to Mitchell.
We loaded in 280 AI.
Right.
Is where it came from. Someone they seen it wasn't a component bullet.
Yeah.
280 actually improved.
Sure.
You can't say AI anymore.
Why?
It's just today's world, AI just means other things. Yeah. 280 Ackley improved. It sounds better.
Sure.
Give it some respect.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we wanted to make sure that that was out there, right? And as everything happens, right, as we release things in ammo, everybody's always going to want it in a component bullet because there are those reloaders out there.
Yeah.
All right. So a 22 cal 70 grain TAC TX. Let's talk about that one, specifically designed for the 22 arc.
Correct. Yeah, so really it kind of goes along what we already said with the 6 arc 90 grain TAC TX. This is the 22 arc 70 grain version, right? This is just a component offering for 22 arc. Obviously, you could hand load it in other fast twist 22 calibers. You know, it is a longer profile nose. So 223, 556, you know, this would be more of a special platform. You know, this isn't saying that you can mag length load this projectile in 5.56 just because you have a fast twist. You know, this is designed around the 22 arc, that case design. It allows for longer, sleeker bullets to mag feed. Just taking advantage of the 1-in-7 twist as well. And so we can push the limits. Like Mitchell said, new ogive, new design, new tip, just like the 90 grain TAC TX in the 6mm version, but in a 224 diameter for 22 cal, specifically optimized for a 22 arc cartridge.
Yeah.
So it fits extremely well in the 22 Creedmoor as well, but the 22 Creedmoor, the standard twist ray is a 1-in-8.
Yep.
So that if you're at low elevation, cold temperatures, it's not going to work. If you're higher up at here, I don't know if we've shot an 8 twist here. We shot it in a 8 twist in Wisconsin, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it stabilized. It's probably right on the edge. So I think guys can probably get away with it in 22 Creedmoor if you're not negative 10 degrees.
Right.
If you're going to be hunting in that, then probably not. But if you have a little bit of elevation, you're not super cold, I bet it'll work in 1-in-8.
Yeah. Like I said, not to jump ahead, but then.
Jump ahead.
All right. We also have a 65 grain LRX. Component bullet coming out that is optimized for 1-in-8 twist 22 Creedmoor.
Yep, there you go.
So again, if you're a 1-in-8 twist guy, especially if you're lower elevation cold, you know, a lot of predator guys hunting deer late season with 22 cals, you know, hogs, all those kind of things, 22 Creedmoor's really taken off. That 65 grain LRX will be the bullet to use. But you're right, if you had a 7 twist, you know, custom barrel 22 Creedmoor and you wanted to shoot the 70 grain TAC TX, you absolutely can. They're both great bullets. You know, actually pretty similar, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it's just a shortened shank, really. Ogive bow tail are the same function, same.
Yeah.
But it's a very competitive BC. So we offer a 77 grain LRX, which was around the 224 Valkyrie and 22 Creedmoor. But that's around, we catalog a 404 BC. And like I said, we haven't officially gotten the BC yet. We've shot it, through our experimental runs, but we, you know, as we change things, we don't catalog it just yet, but it's higher than that 77 grain. I don't know where it's going to land, but it is higher, which is cool. It's seven grains lighter and it's a higher BC. I bet that 65 grain will probably be the same BC and be 12 grains lighter.
Yeah. I'll go back with a little story here. So it was actually, I didn't realize it was this long ago. I don't know about you guys, but lately, like just time in general, I'll be like, oh, that was like 2 years ago. And then you look at it, you're like, no, that was like 6 years ago. Anyways, maybe it's just me. But 22 Creedmoor, we were talking about 22 Creedmoor. Obviously, we're hearing more and more about it. We're building this 65 grain LRX for it. We did quite a bit of work with the 70 grain TAC TX between the 22 arc and the 22 Creedmoor, like you already said. And anyways, it was like, got me thinking about my own 22 Creedmoor. I don't have it anymore, but years ago I put one together when it was very much Wildcat. And I looked at it. It was actually back in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I didn't realize it was that long ago.
I think you're getting old.
I know.
That's when I started at Barnes.
I know. So so I was shooting a 22 Creedmoor before it was cool.
Yeah.
I can say that.
You're an OG.
I'm an OG. But but no, when we actually, it was when we built that 77 grain LRX. And you're right, we designed that bullet around the Valkyrie, the 224 Valkyrie. But I thought the 22 Creedmoor sounded a whole lot better. And so I actually built a 1-7 twist at that time. We barely got the first experimental run off the press. Like that, it was like a Thursday. I think I hurried and did some load development on Friday. My wife went and shot an antelope with it on Saturday.
Nice.
She killed his pronghorn like 350, 360 yards, somewhere right in there. Awesome performance. And so given that it's a 77 grain LRX, but I bring up that to say I'm super excited about both the 65 grain LRX and the 70 grain TAC TX. Whether you're a 22 Creedmoor guy or 22 ARC guy, it's going to give you an option there. Like I said, the 65 grainer, if you're 1-8 twist across the board, you're buying a, you know, there's multiple factory 22 Creed rifles now in the market with 1-8 twists. And this is one of those across the board, across the, you know, the world really, regardless of conditions, temperature, humidity, and elevation, that 65 grain is going to be the one to go with. If you're like, hey, I want the little bit better BC, I want the 70 grainer, I have a 1-7 or 1-7.5, I'm a guy out west, I'm at 4,000 plus feet, yeah, you could hand load the 70 grain TAC TX in a 22 Creed.
All right, so we've briefly talked about the, or I shouldn't say briefly, we talked about the 6 ARC 90 grain TAC TX, we talked about the 190 grain TSX and the 400 Legend. So those will be available for our component bullets as well. So we don't really need to go too deep into there, right? Because we've already kind of talked about the bullet. But the last component bullet that we have, 25 cal, 117 grain LRX. And as my phone is blowing up right now, because there's three people that are excited about the Weatherby launch that they technically, I'm over here like looking at all these things. They technically haven't even launched it yet, but they're watching their website so fast and the ammo popped up, but it hasn't even hit social media yet. Hasn't, you know, anyway, they're like, can we get this to load, to test, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so 117 grain LRX. We got it to Weatherby as they were building this 25 RPM, but it will also be very good for the 25 Creedmoor.
Correct.
So,
and other fast twist 25 calibers.
Right.
I mean, exactly. You're starting to see
25-06 fast twist.
Fast twist 25-06. Yep. Fast twist 257 Weatherbys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys building 25 Psalms,
25 PRCs that they're wildcatting, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you're seeing more and more fast twist, bigger case 25 cals.
Yeah.
This one I would say is almost, if I look at everything we've talked about today, this one's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I was going to change my answer too. I kind of forgot about the 25 cal for a second.
Yeah.
But it, so Hornady launched the 25 Creedmoor at NRA last year.
Yep.
So I did a little bit of work. I was looking at, okay, is it worth doing an LRX? Is this going to take off? Yeah. And I kind of got a rough idea. And then Weatherby hit us up and they're like, hey, we're doing this new cartridge. We'd like to have an LRX bullet. What about your 1-on-1? I was like, no. We're not doing that. We're going to do an awesome new bullet.
Yeah. Take advantage of the fast twist.
Right. Yeah. So they sent that, the chamber drawing over and the case design, and I was happy.
Yes.
I was super excited because sometimes when you see new cartridges, you wish, oh, I wish they would have done a shorter case or longer case, but they left the case fairly short. So it gave me a ton of room on the Ogive to make it long, sleek. I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just, you don't get that, that room to mess around with. Sometimes it's okay, it's this is my max length for Ogive, that's what I'm going to go with, and okay, the bolt's done. But this, I could mess around, I could change the radius, I could change the shape, I could mess with boat tail angle, I can mess with weight, and we could really optimize that bullet, which is, it's not always true for new cartridges and new bullets. So
they did a really good job. It's short enough to allow you to do that, but it's long enough and has enough case capacity to still drive a 117 grain copper bullet plenty fast.
I don't want to get off on a crazy tangent here, but do you think that since Weatherby isn't a bullet manufacturer, right, versus some of these other people that are coming out with new cartridges, right, do you think that they're doing that on purpose to be able to give bullet manufacturers, or do you think they're thinking that far ahead that they're like, man, we can do a certain little cool thing here to help bullet manufacturers do more cool things versus these other guys that are coming out with cartridges, and then they're trying to make certain bullets, so you have to kind of fit within their window.
I think it's part of it. I mean, I think the RPM design, if you look at the whole family, is really about balance, right? It's kind of that, and this is just my opinion, but I think it's kind of that Weatherby history and mentality of velocity,
right?
But still some new age, like, you know, we're not short fat necessarily, like some of the PRCs and short magnums and all those things that have been out for a while, you know, 6.8 Western. It's kind of a balance between the two. We're thinking new age, like we want to be able to mag feed long sleep projectiles. We're putting fast twist rates on them to stabilize them. But we still want to go long enough action and long enough and enough case capacity to still drive it fast.
Yeah.
It's a balance, and the RPM is a very balanced case.
Well, I mean, even with that, right? Like you look at the other offerings that they're coming out with and the RPM, and I think we're the only one that made a truly new bullet for this specific cartridge. And I would love to kind of talk a little bit about how RBC stomps a competitor's, because I know that you're itching to talk about it.
Yeah, it's like I said, I got a lot of room to mess around with this design. Yeah. We just finalized the BC, it was yesterday, actually. Yeah. We came right down to the wire. We were making those Weatherby guys nervous. We came in at 5:30 for a G1 BC.
Yeah.
So for comparison, our 257-101 is what, 400?
Well, yeah. Even to go back to that, right? You said that the 170 TTSX for the 7 PRC is a 503.
Mm-hmm.
And this 117 grain LRX is a 530.
Yep.
Like,
yep. And wild. That's one of the reasons I'm super excited about it. And I mean, I don't want to jump in. I'll let Mitchell finish his stuff first, but there's some comparisons I've run multiple times for the last 6 months on this project. And you think even 25 Creedmoor velocity. 25 Creedmoor with a 117 LRX, you run all the numbers and downrange comparisons to a 6.5 Creedmoor and a 127 grain LRX.
Yeah.
And I'm a 6.5 guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a 25 cal guy.
Like, right.
I make a joke, like I've had for years, like I bought a 25-06 once so I could rip the barrel off and build it into something good. Like, anyways.
Yeah.
But you run the numbers and it's like, I'm getting more muzzle velocity.
Yeah.
And a 530 BC versus our 0.468 BC of a 127, it's there. I've got better retained velocity, less wind drift, better energy downrange. The bullet expansion, we haven't got to that, but this is an LRX that's designed to expand well at low velocity.
Mm-hmm.
It stomps some of these other bullets and calibers even.
Yeah.
I mean, it still has to be put within reason. It's a 25 caliber. I mean, I'm not a guy that's like, let's go hunt grizzly bear with 22s, you know, like.
Yeah.
People are getting moose. Or moose or whatever. Yeah. But like you start thinking antelope and deer size game.
Yeah.
And even elk on the right conditions and shots.
Yeah.
Like I might become a 25 shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't Roy Weatherby shoot a Cape Buffalo with a 257 Weatherby?
I think so. I'm sure I've heard something like that.
I don't think that I would take that chance, but you know, to each their own. Mm. Okay. Go for it.
I will talk a little bit about the BC as well, kind of what Dale was talking about with competitors. We've done, and Mitchell mentioned that we just finalized the BC just this week. And that's because we're just making small tweaks to the
259. We should have went 250.
That would have been cool. Yeah, so 0.530 G1, that was measured 300 yard, and 0.259 G7. But like you said, we did Doppler testing. We did long range Ayler testing. I shot BCs at 700 yards with this bullet. The reason it was finally just finalized this week is because we had just the final production version, just small tweaks. And so some of the initial testing, you know, I mean, we're talking hardly any difference, right? But it's just trying to get that most accurate number with the final production version is why it's taken this long. But I will say, without naming names, since Mitchell didn't want to go there, I know what Dale was reaching for. Mitchell didn't go there, so I will, whatever. When we went out to the range months ago and was doing some testing with some of our prototype versions of this 117, you know, we do a lot of competitor evals.
Right.
You know, obviously we...
Yeah, we want to see what other people are doing
right.
So we can do it better.
Right. We measured BCs of other, I'm going to say... you know, copper and non-lead, a heavy, fast twist required 25 calibers. And some of them are close. Some of them are there, and some of them are not. Not to call anyone out, but when you see things like estimated on the website or calculated or based off of somebody's data, that's not real. That's not measured. It's not accurate.
True data.
True data, right? This is not Doppler verified. This is not actual BCs. These are theoretical numbers, and in reality, they are inaccurate.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of variables to consider. You may think, well, my data lines up. Well, it could be 15 other things that are affecting it. The just flat out fact is some of these competitors that we measured, their estimated BC, I mean, they are literally 100 plus points off measured BC side by side when we measure ours.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not saying that to basically bash on things. Okay. Mitchell wants to because he's the engineer in the room. We're not saying that to bash on people, right? We're saying that to say, know what you're getting when you're picking out your product, right? Make sure that you're getting the best product that you can. We want you to be the most successful that you can. We understand that not everybody's going to shoot our product. That's fine. Sometimes we lose. A lot of times we win, right? Make sure that you just have the best product that you can. Like, that's all that we want to do.
And recognize that, you know, sometimes there is marketing fluff. Sometimes there is, and even if it's not marketing fluff, maybe it's just flat out, maybe they don't have the equipment, maybe they don't have the process, the know-how, the experience, the ability to give that kind of data, right? But as you mentioned already with velocity, like, people can't lie anymore. It's getting harder and harder, right? And this isn't, I'm not talking like us, anyone, I'm not saying that anyone was. Regardless, as technology changes, chronographs are more available, things like the Garmin, they're easy to use, they're accessible. People are paying more attention to it, right?
And every Tom, Dick, and Harry does reviews out there on YouTube, right? And you see them doing that, of shooting it through their chronograph, and then they're talking about specific ones. And it's funny how they only want to talk about ones that aren't doing well versus the ones that are doing the right stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Well, and again, I will go back to, you have to recognize that there are other things to consider. There's variables.
Right.
Everything is not going to be... I'm not saying that our box velocity is going to be exactly what you're going to see. No, because your gun's different, your chamber's different, your barrel's different, the length could be different, the material's different, the rifling's different. There's all these variables.
But if you start putting apples to apples versus apples to oranges, you're going to see where people are fluffing things.
Whether it's velocity or whether it's accurate BCs, we're doing whatever we can with the best equipment we have to give you the most accurate data possible.
Right, 100%. What do you got over there?
I got my sticky note here. You're talking about there's no fluff involved. Measuring BC is extremely hard.
Yeah.
And it's very circumstantial. It depends on your twist rate, depends on your elevation, depends on your barrel, depends on your velocity.
Yeah.
So we shot, I don't remember which one this, I think this was the 6 arc 90, but we shot at a 6 arc velocity and then a 6 Creedmoor velocity. And there was 24 points in BC difference, with the higher BC being for the higher velocity. Now, that doesn't mean you lower your, it just doesn't fit the shape is what it comes down to. So measuring BC is hard, and we do a damn good job with our Doppler equipment and everything else we do.
But. So with that being that it was 24 points lower, you gave the 6 arc BC versus the 6.5 Creed, or the 6 Creed, sorry.
Well, we haven't standardized the 90 the BC. Grain.
Okay. Yeah, but we will, especially because we load the 90 grain TAC TX in 6 arc for Vortex.
Right.
So the BC that we use for the 6 arc
will be
Vortex
for that cartridge.
Will be for that cartridge.
Right.
And the trajectory that's on the box or on our website will be for that cartridge.
Yeah.
When it's a component bullet, it's a little more difficult. We generally try to go with the most, kind of the cartridge that it was most optimized for or that it's most likely going to be used for. Now, obviously, 30 cal, it gets kind of really tough because am I shooting this 130 grain TTSX out of a 308?
Yeah.
Probably. We load it in ammo. That's what it was really designed for. But a guy could shoot out of a 3378.
Right.
Is the BC going to change? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I can't measure every BC for every velocity scenario either.
Yeah.
And that's another reason, among others, why you need to true up your data. You need to go to the field.
And that's where I was going to go, right? Is that that's one of the cool things about true data, not to give you another little freaking pat on the back, but you can do your truing of your BC through the app and everything, and that's very important, right, is understanding, and that's where And I think that through 2026, right, this is one of the things that we want to do on our website is when we're showing component bullets, talk about how this bullet is truly designed for this cartridge. So if you're doing something different, understand that that BC is going to be slightly different if you're loading it in. For example, there's people that are going to load the 160 grain LRX in a 7 rim mag, for example, right? You're going to get less velocity. So then, like you said, that BC is going to change.
Assuming they have a fast enough twist to stabilize
Yeah, if there's people doing, you know what I mean?
But there are.
Right. There's people that are putting different twist rates on, all that type of stuff. So your velocities are going to change. Your BC is going to change.
Well, and not to get too far off here, but I will also bring up, it's the app, right? You can true your BC. You can adjust velocity or BC to make your measured data line up and get, you know, all of your, you know, future calculations to
be accurate
based off of that. But those are one of the two factors that you change, right? Velocity or BC, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your velocity or your BC is wrong, right? It could be other variables. Those are just what you're going to adjust to make it line up. So just make sure that's understood. I mean, sculpt scale factor, you know, you talked about adding that feature to the app in the future. That's going to be a big one. I see all the time, great optics. I mean, I use some of the highest end optics that are available, and not to bash on any of them, there's awesome optics out there from multiple manufacturers. But generally, no matter what, I'm still shooting a tall target test. I'm still truing up to what my scope is actually adjusting, and I'm applying that correction factor to my trajectory to account for that. You know, did it actually dial 10 mils or 25 MOA or whatever the number is, you know, or was it slightly off? You know, there's all these variables, and that's just a piece of it, you know, that needs to be understood.
So another true data plug. So we talked about velocity.
Is this a true data podcast or a new product?
It should be.
Well, you heard him at the beginning of it. He wanted it to be that.
BC changes with muzzle velocity, and you can account for that in the app. You can true up your BC, but to get away from that, use Doppler data. Right. Doppler data is not velocity dependent. Depending on what velocity you are, it has that full curve, so you can get the actual drag. And then the really cool feature about true data too is, like you said, you could true up your BC using that calibration feature. You can do the same thing for Doppler. So not only are you getting a more accurate drag function for your projectile using Doppler, you can also true it up, and that's completely free. Yeah. If you want to use that on another app, it's $25.
Yeah, you got to pay for it.
Right.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Yep. True data.
All right. Let's have we beat this? I don't want to say dead horse, but have we beat this into the ground enough? We covered it pretty well.
Okay. A lot of new products. Really cool things coming out.
All right. Let's briefly.
But there's more.
There is more, exactly. Let's briefly talk about the new product launches that we have, new lines, right? First things first is going to be the Barnes Defense JHP, or JHP Defense, I guess I should say, to give it its proper name. So this one's going to be a Barnes, obviously loaded 9mm, right, with a Sierra projectile. We're going to have 115 and 124, right, for 9mm. Yep. And then we're also going to offer it in a 20-round pack as well as a 50-round pack. So obviously this is pretty straightforward, I think, here, right, is that we want to come out with a low-cost offering. Looking at the MSRP, right, you're looking at $18, $19 a box. I mean, pretty low cost for the 20-round packs.
You save quite a bit of money on the 50 round.
There we go. And so if you go up to a 50 round pack, right, it's going to be $38, $39. So pretty awesome, I'm sure. And that's MSRP versus what you'll probably find on the retail shelf, which might be a couple dollars less here and there. So I think this is pretty cool, giving somebody, you know, the option to have a, quote, low-cost defense type of thing, but also plinking or whatever, right? Like you're practicing, you don't want to shoot your crazy expensive defense ammo, which we still say that you probably should to make sure that it functions well, it shoots what you want it to do. But we're giving somebody more options here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it is important to note, you know, this is definitely a good value, but it's not cheap plinking, you know, FMJ type ammo.
Right.
I mean, this is Defense JHP. You know, this is Barnes quality ammunition, Sierra quality projectiles. These JHPs perform awesome.
Yep.
I mean, this is good ammo to carry. I mean, you can use this for, like I said, it's defense, right? This is, if you're looking for a good carry option for a 9mm, this is a good thing to look at. The 115 JHP and the 124, both perform really good. I've done a lot of work with these in jail. You know, I've been impressed with the performance.
In jail or gel?
Gel.
Okay, just make sure.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's
not
great.
Gel. Haven't been in jail yet.
Yeah,
but ballistics gel.
It's just another option. We obviously have the 115 grain TAC XPD. Great product, but it's significantly more expensive, and it's a copper projectile as well. Yeah. So it just depends on what you want. Do you want that all copper performance with the six pedal design, or do you want a jacketed hollow point bullet? A little bit cheaper. You can practice more. Just giving people more options, which 100%. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. The next one that I know everybody is extremely excited for, the Barnes Suppressor Series ammunition line.
There's some pretty cool options here.
Yeah.
And I have to say, not that packaging matters, but it's pretty cool looking packaging.
Thank you. I finally get one pat on the back throughout this hour and 20 minutes.
It's okay.
I think it's a cool box. It looks good. It's clean. Yeah. It says what it is. It's sleek looking.
Yeah.
So it's got a big suppressor right on the box. Right. I don't think anyone's done that yet.
No.
So
push boundaries.
Good job, I guess.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Why did we want to come out with a suppressor series line that is truly optimized for suppressor use?
I mean, a big part of it is a lot more people are using suppressors.
Right.
So just recently, January 1st, the new year, the tax stamp fee went away. You still got to file all the paperwork, but the fee went away. The wait time went down from a year to 6 months, and now it's
even less.
Allegedly. I mean, when I got it a couple months ago, it was like a week.
Yeah.
The question is, will it go up, though?
I want to say I seen on Facebook a guy was like one day, like 24 hours.
He got like approved. Getting approved, right? Yes. Like not getting your suppressor. But
I'm saying, like, now that we're into January, do you think it's going to change because all these new sales are going to come?
Well, he said he was January 3rd or
well,
something.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it will, right? Because you look at a lot of these suppressor companies as they were doing this, you know, and knowing that the tax stamp was going to go away, what did they do? They're like, oh, we're going to give you a free tax stamp. We're going to basically write off your $200.
The discount's pretty much been there this whole past year.
Yeah,
25.
Yeah, 6 months at least, right? Yeah. So I don't think that I think it's going to be, quote, a little bit easier. It's, quote, a little bit cheaper, but is it really? At the end of the day, I think that suppressor sales are still going to continue to do what they're going to do. But again, like you said, I think Mitchell hit the nail on the head, right? Suppressors have become such a big part of hunting in general, right? Very easy to get nowadays. So it made a lot of sense for us to come out with the suppressor series. With that, like I said, we're going to do a deeper dive on this podcast to talk about these things, or on a later podcast, I should say. But we came out with two 300 blackout offerings, a 308 win offering, and two 9mm offerings.
So these are all with Sierra projectiles, jacketed lead core.
Yep.
What's really cool about them, two of them are actually expanding.
Yep.
So the 300 blackout, one of them is a 205 grain Game King that's designed at subsonic velocities. And then 308 win as well has the same bullet.
Yep.
So they're both loaded to the same muzzle velocity. Obviously, everything is subsonic in this line, but you just get that little bit of added performance.
Yeah.
It's not a ton being subsonic, but it's not going to just pencil through like a bolt that wasn't designed to do so. So
right.
I think that's actually a really cool thing about this product line.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of those subsonic, you know, like the 300 blackout 220 grain that we offer, great round. It's a good one to go out and shoot if you want to shoot, you know, suppressed and subsonic. In your 300 blackout gas gun or bolt gun. But you're right, it's not designed to expand, right? It's relying on maybe some yaw to get any amount of, you know, temporary cavity or upset potentially. But really, most likely, it's just going to pencil through. But this 205 grain offering, like you said, it will expand. And so if you are looking to shoot game with a suppressed and subsonic load in your 300 blackout or 308, this is going to be an awesome one. And then, like you said, the 9mm 147 is subsonic as well for those guys shooting suppressed handguns. I will, and I know we want a deep dive, so I don't want to get too into it with this one.
Yep.
But I think it's worth mentioning Obviously, on anything that's semi-auto, gas gun, the blackouts, and the 9mm, you know, these are optimized loads, propellants designed to perform well, you know, less blowback. You know, we did a lot of work with the 9mm I can speak to. You know, if you've never went and shot subsonic suppressed 9mm handgun,
yeah,
like, maybe you don't realize this, but they're not always the most pleasant things to shoot. Right. You get a lot of gas blowback in your face, even to the point of like particles hitting your cheeks.
Wow.
You know, they're dirty.
Yeah.
You know, we purposely designed and selected propellant that works with these other components to actually get good cycling, reliable, you know, functioning of the gun, running the gas gun in the 300 blackout as well, but also low blowback as far as gas coming out, fouling, all those kind of things. So
it's not,
it's really optimized.
It's not easy to do anymore.
No.
Not that it started to, but with our availability of propellants and the price of them,
right.
We ended up selecting the right propellant, but it's not cheap and sometimes it's hard to get. So we did the right thing.
Yeah. And to the 308 load, just to bring up, that is not designed for semi-auto or full-auto guns. You know, that's for bolt-action, break-action, single-shot 308s.
Right.
That will not function the gas system. But for guys looking for precision, that load flat-out shoots. I mean, we're seeing sub-MOA 10-shot groups with that 205 and 308 subsonic load in this suppressor series.
Going to be absolutely awesome for those like hog hunters down in Texas and that type of stuff. I think that this is going to be really, really cool. Quick thing on price point, right? So 300 blackout rounds are going to be $27. 308 is going to be right around $48. And then that 9mm is going to be 20 and 42, depending if you're going to get a 20-pack or a 50-pack. So. Yeah. Again, a pretty good substantial, you know, discount if you go to the 50 pack versus just buying the 20 packs.
Yep.
But I think that kind of covers everything minus what's coming down the line in April. So we will tell you that April will be another launch time frame.
Yeah. So I think right now we have at least six.
Yep.
Maybe more.
Maybe
depends on what our big boss man says.
I'm sure there's always more to come,
which is good. I love it.
Absolutely. So it's fun times here at Barnes, and we're doing a lot of cool stuff. I hope that everybody gets on board with this and really likes what we're doing. We're trying to help out the customer as best we can, right? And really fill those gaps. Like again, to kind of just hit that right.
I don't think we've ever launched 26 SKUs in a year.
In a single year.
And that's just January. We're going to do, like I said, another six.
Right.
So this is a huge year for
Barnes. It's been busy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and right off the heels of 25 being a really big year. I mean, it's exciting times. But yeah, I think that everything will be good. Like I said, this stuff will be on the website within basically a week of this podcast coming out. And then whatever isn't there will be there roughly 2 weeks later is kind of what we're shooting for right now. So we'll be able to get this out very quick. I think that's another big thing is, you know, you look at other product launches around, right? Most of the time it's not even available until April. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to like not only get products out to get you excited about it and everything else, but we're going to have it available for you to start shooting it pretty soon. So anything else, guys?
I don't think so. Like I said, a lot of cool stuff. I'm excited. I know 6 Arc is going to be a big one. It's cool to see 3 offerings from the Barnes brand.
Yeah.
That's one that we've been getting, you know, a lot of requests for. Like I said, the new 25 cal 117 LRX. I mean, I'm probably going to be building a 25 cal myself.
100%. Okay.
So what's your favorite new product? I'm going to go with the 257 component bullet. I changed my answer.
Since you stole the 117, because that's it's up there. It's a tie for me. But that 90 grain TAC TX, it's been a sweet bullet, and I'm excited about it.
I'm going to go the 170 grain 7BRC offering. I mean, I think that right there is that perfect little in between. Like most of my shots are never past 500 yards. I don't need more weight, but I like it. You know what I mean? And the thing absolutely crushes, and it shoots lights out.
Yeah, it does shoot well.
Absolutely lights out. Not saying that the 160 and the 180 don't shoot really, really well either. But I mean, that 170 just flat out shoots.
Yeah, it does. And like Mitchell brought up earlier, I think it will be a forgiving load.
Yeah.
Just by design, it's a more forgiving ogive, and it's got four grooves cut into it. It's a good one as far as accuracy goes, too. Yeah,
super cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate your time this morning. And everybody go check out the new Barnes offerings. We're excited to bring it to you.
And download True Data.
I knew that was coming. All right. Thanks, guys.